Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called us the church, and that is the church throughout the world, the church that claims the name of Jesus Christ and preaches the word, to love God, love others, and go. For in these three commands, the entirety of the scriptures is wrapped up and delivered unto us, that we may truly be and walk with him as only he would have us. The word of God is true and right in everything that it speaks and does. Can I get an amen, church? And to it we give our lives as we have given our lives to Christ. And as we know from John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Well, today I'm going to be opening up another sermon here as we walk in this time of strengthening and blessing, because that's where we find ourselves, needing strength and blessing as we're seeing the things that are transpiring in our world. And I truly want to bring blessing from the Lord. But the reality is I need to ask the question, and this question may not come off the way it seems from the tongue, but because the question, the sermon title today is, will you be blessed? And it is a question, not a statement of will you be blessed because of what you do. No, I'm asking you to be blessed. Will you be blessed? Because if you will be blessed, something has to change. We cannot continue doing the same thing and expecting different results. Can I get an amen, church? So something has to change. So therefore, we need to look to the Word. What does the Word of God tell us? How many of you out there on internet land, how many of you here in the congregation would like to be blessed? Amen. Every day of my life, I want to be blessed. But one of the things I need to understand is, in order to be blessed, I need to be worthy of being blessed. There's a part that I have to play. You know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving and soon to be Christmas. You know, I think it's horrible because it seems like we jump right over Thanksgiving. It goes from, God forgive me, Halloween to Christmas. Did you ever notice that? You know, Thanksgiving gets like 3 days in there after Halloween and during the time. And then all that stuff comes down and, you know, the Christmas trees are all over the stores today. And it's just like, what happened to Thanksgiving? Our lives should be a time of Thanksgiving. But in that Thanksgiving, that brings us to a place of realizing where this scripture is coming from, where this sermon is coming from. Because if we will be blessed, we need to be in the Lord. Can I get an amen? And that's a truth that our world doesn't want. They want Santa Claus to come. Okay? Everybody wants the good stuff. How many of you got your lists? You know, how many of you out there have your list? And it's a list of life, because it's all the things that we want in life. It's where we want God to bless us. But now, wait a minute. If you want God to bless you, are you going to walk in the way of blessing? There's a book out there, and I love the book. And this, some of this sermon comes from this very book. It says, or the title of it is, Can You Stand to Be Blessed? You know, everybody wants blessing. But can you stand to be blessed? Because whether you know it or not, something's required of you to be blessed. It's not just something that happens. Okay? If you are truly going to walk in the blessing of God, because Satan can bless too. Okay? We need to remember, he has authority over this world. And he has made people rich. He has made people wealthy. But they've given up their very souls to do that. God says, I will give you everything. And when God says everything, he means eternity, future, everything. The whole universe is ours with him and for him. And that's the direction that I want us to go. It's understanding that you don't just have it now, but you have it all throughout time. How many of you know God is a God of delayed gratification? Amen. And that is something that our world doesn't want, does it? We want it, and we want it now. Well, if you get it now, there's nothing more to come. And that's where a lot of our world walks. So the question, will you be blessed? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Many of us may ask ourselves, how important is this question? Well, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms, find the book of Psalms, and I want you to understand something. This is the very first psalm. The very first psalm. Psalm number one is where we're going. And it's the entire psalm. God starts the book of Psalms with this very reality. From the book of Psalms in chapter 1, we look to the word of the Lord, and in it we find the proving of God. We find the hope that every one of us has. For in this book, from the very first psalm, we read these words. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now I want you to look at that, and I want you to note something, because one of the things that we need to do when we are reading Scripture is we have to understand the implications of Scripture. What is being implied here to us? And what is the reality of what is being spoken to us? So I'm going to start with the wicked side first, okay? I want you to look at the wicked side. These are the people who aren't blessed. It says, the wicked are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, I just said this twice. Did anybody catch it? Well, number one, you have no idea what I'm talking about yet because I haven't told you. But how many of you realize that every chaff, everything that is chaff, is the waste product of a good grain? You all realize that? We're talking agrarianally now. We are no longer much of an agrarian society. Yes, we do farm, but most of us work in other venues today. But a farmer looks at this. When this was spoken to the people of Israel, they understood very well because they were farmers. They understood that the wicked have a semblance of blessing because there is a grain that is there. However, that grain is used up and it's gone, and all that's left is what? Chaff. And that chaff will be blown away, because it is separated from the goodness that it had received. The blessing that it had lasted only for a while, and it died, and it is no more. So therefore, they will not stand in the judgment. Why? Because there is no righteousness. There is no good after the chaff is gone. There's nothing left. They have no way to stand, for there is no good in them. So that implies that we who are in Christ, we who are in the Lord, there is something good left. What is that goodness that is left? That is the goodness that the Lord has stored up for us in heaven. That is where we are laying up treasures in heaven. That is where you and I walk in the Lord, and we don't receive it all here now, but there is something coming. Oh, so I'm going to be blessed. Well, yes, but we need to determine whether you're a good seed or a bad seed. Because everybody looks like a seed. Did you just catch that here? Everybody looks like a seed, but who determines which one is which? That determination comes from the Lord. And he says to us from verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. How many of us can say we are absent, we are void of those things right there? We don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. I hate to tell you this, but how many of you watch what's on TV and listen to what they say? How many of us are trained up, and our children are trained up by what is on our television set? You know, one of our elders said years ago, I mean, this is 20-some years ago, he said this to me. He said, every time you turn on the TV and you watch television, it's like having Satan puke in your living room. When he told me that, I thought, this man's nuts. Then the Lord showed me that I was wrong. Because what came across that, you know, because I'm thinking back when I was a kid, Leave It to Beaver, you know, what's some of the other ones that were out there? Not all in the family, for heaven's sakes. Father Knows Best, thank you. Father Knows Best. Mr. Ed, oh my heavens. You know, there used to be good programming out there. But then programming began to change. Why do you think it's called programming? Because they are programming us. And we don't realize that we are literally walking, as we walk in this world, the counsel of the wicked is all around us. So we need to be able to discern that and turn away from it. We need to be able to understand that we do not stand in the path of sinners. What does that mean? That means that we are doing the things that sinners do. How many of you are sinners? Yeah, every hand ought to be in the air, including yours. Because we are all sinners. But we do not join in. We are coming away from. We are coming out of. Can I get an amen, church? As much as it is possible unto us, we are to come out from. And as it's not possible for you, it is possible in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And when we begin to understand that we have to be transformed, we cannot continue to do the same things and expect blessing, we also begin to understand verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. When you and I begin to understand that if we want to be blessed, we have to be men and women of faith. We have to be men and women of this word. I've had many people tell me, but since Christ, we don't have to listen to the Old Testament. Whoa! That is wrong. We do not have to offer sacrifices and offerings anymore because one sacrifice and one offering has been given. That is the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate offering, and there is no more to give. But we must receive that offering for our very selves, that he has become our propitiation, and that he is who, church? Children's Sunday School 101, right? Ask our kids any question and they'll say, Jesus. We train them well. And we need to train ourselves well. Because we need to walk in Jesus Christ. Hence I began with, we start with John 1:1, right? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And when we walk in this Word, when we submit ourselves to God's will, you will be blessed. Because it's the only way you can be blessed. I love to read this psalm in the NIV because it says the first line just a little bit different. It says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Okay? God is already stating it. It is already out there. It's not something you need to wonder about. If you are in the Word, if the Word is in you, if you are enveloping He who is our hope, you will be blessed. But you have to make that choice. And I know there's a whole lot of people out there on internet land and out there in our world. I mean, we just went out for our parade. I was just told it was an awesome parade. More people there than they've ever seen. Gave out all our tracts, gave out almost all our children's Bibles, gave out Gideon Bibles that we had, and everything went out. May we pray that it return not void. Amen. Because the souls that will be saved by that reality, we leave it under the Lord, right? All we did was plant seeds, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, because that's part of this. It's understanding if we want to be blessed, we need to imply a lot of what the Scripture's talking about, because we'll read the Word, but will we do what the Word's telling us? which means we need to look at what it's implying into our lives. This word is implying that you and I are going to turn to that word. Because if we're not, we're going to walk in the way of scoffers, and we're going to sit in the way of sinners, and we're going to look to the way of evil in our world, because evil looks like good is coming out of it, because it gives you something, but that something always gets taken away, and all that's left is death. But in Jesus Christ, we find life. Even though this life be taken from us, we're going to die one day. And all of us know it, unless we're raptured. Can I get an amen? And I'll tell you what, you know, I pray that it's some Sunday when I'm up here preaching and we just go poof. Because what a way to go with our hearts in tune to the Lord and just praising Him and worshiping Him. I can't help but think that day will come, and in that day we'll find the greatest blessing of all, amen? Because in that day we will be with Him and we will be like Him, for we will be transformed. In the twinkling of an eye, I have to laugh. I got to tell you a story. Pastor loves to tell stories. One of our dear saints, and I won't say who, asked me if they were going to have time to go back and let their dogs out of their house if we get raptured. And I just laughed. And they said, well, but the dead in Christ go first, right? So we might have time. I said, no, it's called a twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen like that. We need to remember, God's going to take care of what's down here. We need to remember that when it's time to go, we don't have a fret or a worry. Do we trust in God? Amen. That's where we have to be. Some things down here, it's going to go haywire. Why? Because of the God of this world. And I mean little g God. You all know that, right? Talking Satan, the evil one. And it's going to get ugly here. But we're going to be separated from that. For the glory of the Lord, the true blessing of the Lord is going to come into our lives. But I want us to understand, you know, what kind of blessing will God bring to those who obey His word? Because, you know, we have this delusion that God's going to give us everything we want, right? I mean, how many of us have our list? You know, I spoke earlier about the Santa Claus list. Let's all be honest. You don't need to raise a hand. I don't want you to tell on yourself. But you know what the Lord's groaning in your hearts right now? How many of us have our Santa Claus list? This pastor's going to tell you the truth. I have one. Yeah, I have one. It's called the Heart of Rich. Because Rich is a man. And Rich has desires, but God has a will and a purpose. Which do you think I want? I want His desires and purpose. So they war in me, just as I know they war in every one of you. But it's who's winning that battle. Is it about me or is it about Him? Is it about you or is it about Him? What does God tell us? This comes right back to our mantra. Love God, love others, and go. You know, I think about our church. What are we called? The Heart of Christ. Are we? Are we? And I pray that the answer to that is yes, that we are as much as it is possible for us. You know, we all know we're fallen, right? We all know that we fall short. But we also know we are on that narrow path. And if we start to veer off of it, we expect God to bounce us back on, right? You know, this is not regular bowling. This is bumper bowling. Okay? God's going to get us there. He might have to bat us back and forth a little bit, but we will get there. Are we going to bowl a strike? I have no idea. I'm probably going to do goalposts. I don't know about you. Because that means I made it in. Woohoo! But what kind of blessing will God bring to those who obey His word? Well, the only way we're going to answer that is to look to see what the word says. And I'm not going to go back into the New Testament. I'm going to go deeper into the Old Testament. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. From Deuteronomy 28, we understand something here. God is speaking through Moses. God is laying the things out for the people to understand. He's setting the nation up, okay? Because he's giving them the blessings and the cursings. And he's going to ask them to choose this day. And that's what I'm asking you, is to choose this day. Because I want you to choose the blessings and what the blessings state. From the first verse in chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, let us read what the Lord shall say. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hands to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beasts, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to you for your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will only be above and will not be underneath if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. We are told that if we truly walk in the way of the Lord, we're going to be blessed in everything and every way that God brings forth from himself to us. When you read that in a very literal sense in today's vernacular, we're not such agrarian people. But he's going to bless us in whatever the work of our hands is. Whatever your job is, you're going to be blessed in it. Whatever your life puts itself to, whatever you direct the paths of the Lord unto, commit that way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Can I get an amen? And when we do that, we're going to see blessing beyond blessing, as no one can count. But, you know, there's always a but. Does that mean everything is going to be good? I got one elder over here saying no. I got another one over here, a lady over here shaking her head no. Anybody else want to add their 2 cents? Root saying no. And Romans 8 and 28 says, and to those who love him, God worketh all things to good. We need to remember, even though times may not be pleasant for us, God is working it to good, which is our eternal state. Remember what I said? He's a God of delayed gratification. Jesus has told us, you will have tribulation in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And how do we overcome the world? By following in his footsteps, by being obedient to the word of God. In it, we will be blessed. Yes, we're going to have times of heartache. We're going to have times of hardness. We're going to have times of sickness. We're going to have all these times. Why? Because we live in sin-filled bodies. Let's be honest with one another. But the reality is, our world is out there clamoring, looking for that something. And I have to tell you, and you all know it, he's a someone. Can we get an amen? And that someone is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who has given his all that we may know heaven, that we may know glory, that we may walk in the perfection of God. Even now, though we are broken, though we are humbled, though we are not right in our minds and our bodies, yet we are right in our spirits, for the Spirit of God liveth in us. Can I get an amen, church? And in that, we have all hope that God's going to work all this stuff to good. You know, I still walk around with a foot that's numb. I mean, it's numb, okay? There are times I trip into things, and I really got to watch what I'm doing. Does it hold me back? Well, yes, but no. I will do everything I can and push it as much as I can because I know there's more out there for me. I simply have to deal with life in this broken body. Until the day when I won't even need feet, I'll be able to think myself somewhere and be there. Because I'll be in the glory state of Jesus Christ, who entered into a locked room. How did he do that? I don't know, but I'm going to find out. And in that day, what a blessed day it will be. And brothers and sisters, we're still supposed to live understanding that all these blessings, what did God just promise us? He promised us everything if we will obey his commands. There's a word that people hate. You know, I have to laugh because all of us have grown up. All of us can remember being children whether we want to or not. All of us who have had children can remember what it's like to raise children. And now that I'm a grandparent, I really get to have fun with it because, you know, I get to mess with my grandchildren and then, you know, get them all hepped up on sugar and all that stuff and send them home. That didn't work this weekend. They sent her home with me. So Grandpa was up until 11:30 Friday night trying to put a three-year-old down. Yeah, after her birthday party. Chocolate cake, icing, soda. Yeah, it wasn't fun. She thought it was. My point is this. In life, how many of us growing up liked the rules that were set around us? Were those rules set to harm us? Were those rules set to take things away from us? Or were those rules set to keep us safe? Those rules were set by parents who loved us and wanted to keep us safe. Well, what about our world today? How many of the rules that we have are set to keep us safe? You know, years ago I used to think that was the case. But now I see all these different rules that they're trying to change and the way that they're going, the way this world is going. And all it's doing is taking away our freedoms and our rights. You know, we're not allowed to do some of the things that we used to do. You know, we're not supposed to. You know, they want to take away the things that give us the ability to be a free people, because they'll tell you what is good and what is right. And if that doesn't work, then we'll change it. But the reality is, in changing it, we're giving somebody else rights, but we're going to take rights away from you. And that's not the way God works. God says this is the way, and he's never changed it from the beginning to the end. How many of you have read this book through? Yeah. Has God changed any of his rules? No. You know, I think it's funny because in theology, we look at the Bible in different terms. There are covenants and there are dispensations. We have covenant theologians who believe in the Abrahamic, the Adamaic, the Mosaic, the Davidic, all these different covenants throughout time. And in them, different things are happening. But the reality is, when we look at the covenants, none of the old covenants were ever taken away. They are all still there, waiting to be fulfilled. Well, Pastor, when do they get fulfilled? In the last dispensation. Wait a minute, what? You just said we're covenants. No, I said the church looks at things as covenant, and it looks at things as dispensations. Well, then what are the dispensations? Dispensations, I'm glad you asked. That's periods of time. They are the dispensations. We started with Adam in the dispensation of innocence. How long did that last? About 21 days, Brother Wendell. Yeah. Shortest dispensation we'll ever know. And then we went into the age of law. We are now in the dispensation of the church. And there's another dispensation that is yet to come. But even dispensationalists disagree on it because many of them don't believe in the millennium. But I happen to believe in the millennium, so I have to add the millennium, which is the thousand-year reign of Christ. And that's when all the covenants are fulfilled, is during that last period of time. You see, God's word is so complex that either we believe all of it or we believe none of it. How many of you have ever heard something like that? The reality is, God is the God of yesterday, today, and always, and he has never changed. We have changed, and God has given to us the wherewithal to get through this time. And right now, we are in the time right before the coming of the King. And it's going to be a tough time, and we all need to understand that. And the only way we are going to be blessed in this time is if we walk in the Word of God and receive the blessings thereof. But then that means we need to apply the very Word of God to our lives, where we are not walking in the way of scoffers, where we are not walking in the path of sinners, where we are not being men and women of greed and anger and malice. We need to walk in forgiveness one to another. You know, I am so enthralled by people who can't forgive. I don't understand it. Because when you are an unforgiving individual, what happens to you? You become bitter. And you can't let anything go. You'll say, oh, I'm free. I walk in freedom. No, you don't. You remember all this stuff that happened 25, 30, 50. How old are some of us? I've just turned 61. How long ago can I remember? I can remember being 3. How much bad has happened to me since I was 3? A lot. It's gone. It is gone. Because if I allowed that to hold on, I could not be up here giving you this word of hope. I could not be up here giving you the word that says you are free. And if Christ has set you are free indeed. You're free from that past because you've walked in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Now forgive those who've trespassed against you. And as we do, we receive the blessing. This is the whole point. Will you be blessed? You've got work to do. I have work to do to be blessed. God doesn't just bless us because we are. We are because of God. Can you understand that? But God wants to bless us, and that means we have to choose Him. We have free will. When did I tell you free will started? The moment they ate off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they became self-aware. That's when free will started. That's when we used it the first time. Because they chose to disobey God, and as soon as they chose, their eyes were open, and they saw what they did. In innocence, they walked, and they didn't have to worry about anything because they followed the Lord. They were with the Lord. They heard the Lord. They saw His face. What would happen to you and I if we saw the face of the Lord today, right now? We'd be gone, literally annihilated, for God is a consuming fire. And sin cannot enter in before Him. And He knows that. Hence, He is separated from us for a time until we can be made whole, when the mortal shall put on immortality. And in that last trump, when that last trump sounds, we shall be translated up to God and will be with Him in the air. And in that day, how many of us are prepared for what's going to come? I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how much you've prepared, you're not going to be ready for what's coming. Because when you get there, it's going to be far different than you or I ever thought, because no mind has conceived, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. That's the fullness of blessing, brothers and sisters. We're going to know a love that is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. How many of you can think about looking upon someone, gazing upon someone for eternity? I can't gaze upon somebody for 10, 15 minutes. You know, how many of us used to play that game? Let's see who's going to be the first one to blink. Y'all did that when you were kids? You know, my heavens, yes. We'd be sitting there and staring at each other, and you do something stupid to try and make the other person blink. Well, in eternity, when we're gazing into the holiness of God, we will not blink. There'll be no reason to blink. The glory of God will fill us to a point that His gaze is everything, just to gaze upon Him. You know, if there's one time I would love to be in the back seats, it's then. Because then it means I got in, right? And there are many people out there right now that they don't even know if they're getting in. You know, we just went down, we did our parade. How many of those people do we know are getting in? I don't know any of them that are getting in. You know, I'm sure there were some. But we also need to understand that many are on that road that leads to destruction. And I pray that today, if you want to be blessed, if you are out there and you're listening, if you're here and you want to be blessed, that you get serious with God. You get serious with the sin in your own life. And you get into this Word. You know, I have a hard time with it sometimes. How many of you have a hard time with God's Word? You know, we got to be honest, right? Come on. Yeah, I'm a preacher. What, you mean you have a hard time with God's Word? Yes, I do, because I'm a sinner. And I find myself doing something, and in the midst of it, I'm like, what am I doing? And then I have to turn. I have to what? Repent. And I feel worthless. And Satan reminds me of it all the time. But then I need to do what? What did I tell you? When we're being accused, what's the one thing we have? The blood. You got to claim the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you on the cross of Calvary, and the evil one has to flee. He cannot stand in the blood of Jesus Christ, for the blood of Jesus Christ literally kills him. For he is evil, and he'll not repent. He'll not turn. Why? Because he believes his own lies. Therefore, when you claim the blood of Jesus Christ, he must flee. For we are stronger than he. For we shall judge the angels. And he is an angel, a fallen angel. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, when we come to this place, we need to realize what God's talking about, where we are, who we are, and be honest with ourselves. Turn to your Bibles, to the book of Matthew. This is my last scripture. And guys, I'm sorry, you should have put 50 minutes on there. They were picking on me today and asked, do you want us to put 40 minutes on there, Pastor? I said, no, because I'll go 50. Matthew chapter 13. And as you're turning there, I'm going to remind you of this. Where we were in the book of Deuteronomy, later today, I want you to go back and finish chapter 28. Because I want you to see the cursing if you won't walk in the way of God. All right, we're going to look at it here in a much shorter version, but we have to imply Deuteronomy into this. From the 13th chapter, we read these words. That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat, sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then Jesus later went on, look down to verse 18. Sorry, Pete, I didn't divide that for you. Drop all the way down to verse 18, because Jesus here knows he's talking in parables. And parables are hard to understand if the Spirit of God is not in you. And please remember, at that time, they didn't have the Holy Spirit, but we have the Holy Spirit, so we should already know what it meant. But because we're ignorant people, which means not knowing, We too need the interpretation, and here is what it is. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what he has been sown in his heart. What has been sown in his heart, excuse me. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when afflictions or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Brothers and sisters, this is what I've been talking about in a nutshell from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we receive the word, if we walk in the word, if we allow that word to get deep down in our souls, we will bring forth blessing. God will pour out blessing in our lives, 160, 30-fold of everything that we would put our hands to. God wants his people to succeed here and now. Why? Because there are other people who need to see and know that the Lord is good. Can I get an amen? And that is your whole task. Why do you exist? To glorify God and lead others to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of life. But we put all kinds of other stuff in front of it, don't we? And because we do, we become the thorns, and we become the rocky ground, and we become the hard soil, and in it God cannot bless us. Do you notice there are three times when it was taken away, but only one to where the blessing came? What does that tell us? That tells us that very few are going to find the path that leads to the righteousness of God. But many are on that road, and many will find perdition. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to Christ. We have that path. You know, it's 66 books. And when I think about what God's given us here, there's a hope. There's a hope that runs so deep that we will never, ever fathom all of it. But yet we long for it. Can I get an amen? We long for it, but there's a fight that happens inside. God, I hate that fight because it's the evil in us. Paul speaks about it. He says, the things I want to do, these are the things I don't do. And the things that I do, you know, we all know the do-dos, right? The things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, these are the things that I do. It's a fight that goes on because the old is trying to pull us down. That sinful nature is trying to pull us down. And there are so many of us here that are deluding ourselves, and we're saying to ourselves, well, that has no hold over me. Yes, it does. Until you are free from this body, yes, it does. Some of us need to check our attitudes. Some of us need to check our understandings. Some of us need to check our very selves at the door of heaven. You know, there's one thing I hate. It's a haughty Christian. God, I hate it when I am. How many times have I been? And I have. Because I think I have the answers. I'll never forget the day I was humiliated by one of my best friends. He was going through a horrible time. And I started spouting scripture off to him. Because I had the answers, you know. Sunday School 101, right, for the children. Jesus is the answer. So I'm just going to give you the answer in as many forms as I can. And he just turned to me. I'll never forget it. I was in the machine shop. This was in 1993. He looked at me. He said, Rich, would you just shut up and listen? I don't need you to fix me. You can't fix yourself. Man. And God won't let me forget that, because I'm the one who stands up front here. You think I got it all right? You're wrong. Am I a work in process? I'm a work in progress. Brothers and sisters, you and I need to understand we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. You might think 85 years is a long life. Well, when we get to eternity, you're gonna surpass that in the blink of an eye. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But we got a God who wants us to get there. And He's going to do everything He can to see to it that we do. That's the covenants and the dispensations. God has made the way. But the question is, will you be blessed? Will you walk in the way of the Lord? For when we do, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walks in the way of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You that You have made that way and You have shown us how to be blessed. And now, Lord, every one of us, every day, in every situation, in every moment of thought, needs to choose to walk in Your way, not ours, to humble ourselves and to seek You, to plant Your word deep and to live it. For Your word is life and life alone. There is no other by which we may come and know the salvation of our souls than the Lord who is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.